Good afternoon, everyone. It's the Laces Out Finkel Show again with you today. It is high noon, Tuesday, November 6th. It's a beautiful day outside. This is Fink. I'm a beer league free agent, unrestricted, retired softball legend, first time voter. Go out and vote. You know what? Screw you guys if you think that's annoying. Kiss my ass. Do something about it. Maybe go vote. I'm a Cowboy fan watcher. Not a fan right now. I actually haven't been a fan in a long time. I'm just going to throw that out there, guys. I don't have a lot of friends that say that I am. I'm not. I hate this team. I hate this coach. I hate this owner. And that's what the entire episode today is going to be about. I'm a Marchand hater. Brad Marchand, you're a dirty rat with a dirty, embellishing big nose, and everyone in the world hates you besides you and your family and your fan base. I'm a Star supporter. They fought hard last night. They played their asses off. They looked kind of tired, to be completely honest with you, but the fact that we pulled a point out in Boston was phenomenal. So kudos to them for going out there and giving us a little bit of hope here in Dallas, because I tell you what, it is lacking elsewhere. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to go ahead and just tell you what this is going to be about. It's going to be about Jerry Jones. It's going to be about the Cowboys and their front office. I cannot sit in silence anymore because it is just so frustrating. One, it's frustrating to watch. Two, it's frustrating to hear my friends say that it's going to be okay, because it's not. It's not going to be okay, and it's not Dak's fault. It's not his fault. We'll get into that. We'll cover everything, because I wanted to talk about something much more, you know, chipper, like, hey, let's do a list of the best sports movies in my opinion of all time. Or,
what about the fact that Champion is a sports brand that's coming back and I didn't even know that it was cool again?
Which is weird. I don't know if you guys know that, but Champion, the sports brand, is now apparently being sold at, like, all the top sports stores, and not in a capacity like the discount shelves. No. Champion Sports is back. Like big time. Celebrities are wearing the giant C on their coat. Guys, I am so confused by fashion, which is obvious if you've ever seen the way I dress. But the fact that Champion's made a comeback, I was going to make a whole show about top sports brands in my opinion, because this is my show. And I can give you my opinions. But I saw a story today that I wanted to share with everybody. Because, yes, I grew up a Cowboys fan in the 90s. And then, of course, as time went on, they gave me less and less reasons to give a damn about them as a franchise. All because of Jerry Jones. Shout out to the Southwest Airlines and their amazing planes flying overhead right now. Shout out to them. But I wanted to talk about this story in particular because it really just kind of fired me up. It set me off. Troy Aikman is my favorite quarterback that's ever put on a star. Easily. One, because he went out there and sacrificed everything for this franchise. The dude had at least 7 or 8 concussions. Multiple injuries that he probably played through. He won Super Bowls. He brought championships to Dallas. He was the reason, in my personal opinion, that they continued to be America's team. A story came out today about Troy Aikman being on 1310 The Ticket, radio station here in Dallas, for any of those amazing listeners that listen outside of the city, the greatest city in the world known as Dallas, Texas. And I'm going to try and find you a little bit of a quote from Troy, T-Roy, number 8, the Dusty Cowboy himself. "I've always believed primetime television," Troy quotes, "at home, if you're anything that you believe that you are, you win those games. And they didn't look very good. As I was watching that game, and then it was apparent that they were going to lose, I thought to myself, wow, I really can't remember or think of a loss that is this bad at this point of the year. There's no question it was a terrible loss." And I won't bore you with going on and on about what he said about the team, because a lot of you probably right now are going, "Screw, I don't care what he has to say. Do you miss Romo yet?" No. Romo didn't do anything for this franchise. He gave you hope that was empty. Like looking at the bottom of a well, expecting there to be water, only to jump in and break your neck because it is dry at the bottom. Romo is a fantastic human being. He's a lovely golfer. He is a hard meh commentator if he didn't grunt so much. And to be quite honest with you, I think he would be a phenomenal quarterback's eventually head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. The only way he can help that team is if he puts a star on a baseball cap or a visor and a headset around his ears. Long story short, Troy Aikman said that this franchise needs a complete overhaul. It is a dysfunctional organization. And you guys know the saying, poo-poo trickles downhill, comes from the top. And who is at the top?
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones is a psychotic old man. I'm going to be a cliche podcaster right now, and I'm going to read you the definition of senile. Having or showing the weaknesses or diseases of old age, especially a loss of mental faculties. Sound familiar?
Jerry Jones.
Another description. The state of being seriously mental ill, madness, or extreme foolishness, or irrationality. You know what the definition to the word is to that definition? Insanity. Jerry Jones is an insane, senile old man. And until he's gone, this franchise is screwed. He's won his Super Bowl. The Cowboys are a $4.4 billion corporation. And I get it. At the end of the day, sports is a business as much as it is a game. If not more so. So in my opinion, when the Forbes list came out earlier this year and announced that the Dallas Cowboys are the most profitable franchise in all of pro sports, which is saying something, especially if you look at the contracts and the money that these people are getting overseas to play soccer, they are beating out every single other team in the world. Jerry Jones has won his Super Bowl for the rest of his life. That's him in a private jet flying over right now to go get more money
and go see his friends in Arkansas because I'm a Razorback and I'm faithful to my home.
$4.4 billion. Jerry Jones doesn't give a damn about anything else. I don't care what anybody else says. If you want to come and sit with me and share your opinion, by all means, I've got a full-size couch right here. Plenty of seating. We'll have a round table or a rectangle discussion because it's not round. A lot of these podcasts have been in jest. Podcasting is fun for me, guys, as you may hear in my voice. But today, I just could not contain what I wanted to say, which is the beauty of podcasting. And something else that, I mean, just because the whole Cowboys fandom and franchise is so insane. Because they think something is going to change. I will eat my words as I sit here at 12:09, Tuesday, November 6, 2018. Election day. I will eat my words if he fires Jason Garrett and wipes that coaching team out. But you've already seen what he's going to do. You've already seen what he said. Not only is he not going to make a coaching change, but he's going to extend Dak. Again, I am not a Dak hater. And I'll say it again. If Tony Romo is on that sideline with that car alarm going off in the background because the mic that I have set up to my laptop is that damn good at picking up background noise, what'd it do? If Tony Romo is a coach in any faculty, any type of way, on that sideline, Dak is getting so much more money than he's going to get. Let's take a look back. As I sat in the Chili's on Broadway a couple of years ago, and my brother and I decided to get, you know, chips and salsa, as one does. Guys, how amazing would it be, though, if Chili's ended up sponsoring this podcast and I got chips and salsa for life? Oh, dare to dream. Sky's the limit. Live your dreams, guys and girls. Do what you want to do. But imagine just sitting there. Imagine, if you will. I look up at the TV screen. Preseason game of the Dallas Cowboys is on. Tony Romo's in for one of the first drives of the entire game. And down goes Romo. And what would later become one of the most magical regular season runs in the last 20 years for the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott was lights out. Lights all night for you EDM lovers. Lights out. He played with passion. He played with tenacity. He played with heart. He played smart. He played well. Who was on his sideline the whole time? Tony Romo. Tony Romo was on the sideline for that entire season, in his ear, telling him what he should do. And he did it. And he did it damn well. Now, granted, his offensive line was complete that season. So, you know, we don't have our star center right now. And again, we all hope he gets better, because it's a very unfortunate disease that he's dealing with, the autoimmune disease. But he had the whole starting offensive line, which was touted as one of the greatest. You could put anybody back there, and they would succeed. They would be given time. So Tony Romo was on the sideline for that entire season that they went, I believe, 16-2, and eventually went into the playoffs and won their first playoff game. I could be wrong about that, and I'm probably going to get a lot of chirping from that if I am wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I'm correct. What's new? But that team was well coached, and it was not because of Jason Garrett. It was because Tony Romo was in Dak's ear telling him what to do. You guys have heard Tony Romo to predict plays while he's in the booth. And I think that's the best part of his commentating, is the fact that he's still so football smart that he can go out there and watch a football game and know exactly what the team is about to do and go, I don't think that's going to work. And then guess what? It doesn't work. I'm so sick and tired of the mediocrity that is Jason Garrett. I don't care about your family ties. I don't care how buddy-buddy you and your whole family is. You suck at your job. Your leash is so long. If you were a dog, you would have been put down by now, because your leash is long enough to attack anybody within a 500-foot radius of your home. Jason Garrett, you are a joke to this franchise. You have done nothing but been mediocre your entire career. Your entire career. And something that really triggered me today, as far as this whole, I'm going to stick with Jason Garrett.
there's not going to be any coaching changes in the front office. And Dak is an impressive quarterback. He's our quarterback. He's earned himself an extension. At the least, he's earned himself an extension. We're not going to make any more changes on the coaching side. And I approve this message. Giddy up.
So, what triggered me even more, and I know a lot of you guys are not big hockey fans, and that's completely fine. I don't expect you to be. I don't expect you to study the sport if you don't want to. But I want to tell you guys about a name that I think will really kind of resonate with you once I tell you what happened today with this gentleman. His name is Joel Quenneville. And you might have seen on the status I posted on Facebook about Troy making these comments about the whole dysfunctional franchise. You might have seen my buddy Jim Herbert comment about this. And the reason I want to bring this up, I was going to bring it up as it was, but then, you know, seeing that Jim posted that just solidified my opinion on this. Joel Quenneville was fired today by the Chicago Blackhawks. the biggest bandwagon team in the NHL. They were, for the better part of a decade, the Golden State Warriors on ice. Joel Quenneville became the Chicago head coach in 2008 and 2009. I want to read off the results of his seasons from 2008 to 2017 into 2018. Are you ready? Okay. 2008-2009, they lost in the conference finals, but they made the playoffs. 2009-10, they won the Stanley Cup. 2010-2011, they lost in the conference quarterfinals, made the playoffs. 11-12, lost in the conference quarterfinals again, made the playoffs. 12-13, they won the Stanley Cup again. 13-14, lost in conference finals, but they made the playoffs again. 14-15, guess what? They won the Stanley Cup playoffs. They won again, three times. 15-16, they lost in the first round, but they made the playoffs again. And then in 2016, they lost in the first round, but they made the playoffs again. They made the playoffs in every single season until last year. They suffered a lot of injuries. They lost their starting goalie for the majority of the season. And they finished at the barrel of the Central Division. That was the only time they missed the playoffs. They fired him today. They fired him today. Jason Garrett. And I know this is completely different because football is a 16-game season and hockey is an 82-game season. I'm sorry, but hockey is a more difficult sport to play in and win the Stanley Cup than it is to win the Super Bowl, okay? Jason Garrett from 2010 to 2018, he's made it to the playoffs twice. Twice. He's only been first in the division twice. Do you guys not see the problem here? A man that won you the pinnacle of your sport three times and achieved the playoffs every single season. He was your head coach until the last season is out of a job. But Jason Garrett and his douchebag hand clap is still on the sidelines for the, quote, greatest team in the world, America's team, end quote. It is so infuriating that this football team represents the city that I love and I call home. This team is an embarrassment. This coach is an embarrassment. This owner is an embarrassment. It is so hard to be a part of this fandom in any way, shape, or form. Old fan, new fan, current fan. It's sickening. There was a story released recently about the drunkest football teams in America, and the Dallas Cowboys finally won something. Because the Dallas fan base had the highest alcohol content per average fan. That beat out Buffalo, guys. And those Buffalo fans throw themselves through tables for funsies. For funsies. Guys, I don't know what you want me to say or do. I can't be a fan of this team. I won't. I hope they lose every single game for the rest of the season because I want to see this franchise burn. I want to see every single one of those people in the front office and on that sideline fired. Every single one of them. It is an embarrassment to watch. This team sucks. This franchise sucks. I hate this team. I hate this team until something is done about the front office. And the saddest part is, a lot like the Raiders, Jerry Jones is the New Age Art Davis. And until Jerry Jones, and I don't wish ill will upon anybody, but until Jerry Jones dies, I don't see this franchise changing one bit. Unless his son finally whispers something in his ear and that old man ticker of his upstairs just kind of snaps.
Well, you know what, Steven? That sounds like a pretty good idea.
Until that day comes, they're never going to win a Super Bowl. They'll be damn lucky to make it to the playoffs. This season was the season to do it. Their division is terrible. You could line up four trash cans with two back wheels on a hill, and it would be more entertaining to watch these four football teams fumble themselves around the field. Look, you hear that plane? That's all the Cowboys' chances of winning the Super Bowl flying away. Flying oh so far away. I can't even. Because there's no point. It's more entertaining to see it fail than it is to see it succeed at this point. Oh, and not to mention, Sean Lee got hurt again. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me 13 times, you're Sean Lee. Again, these past players, Jason Witten, Tony Romo, and let's be real, Sean Lee is not far off from being done with this sport. You put those three guys on that sideline with their knowledge of the sport, their knowledge of the team, their lack of winning, that goes without saying. You put them on the sideline with those headsets on, I guarantee you this team turns itself around a hell of a lot quicker than the redheaded devil himself sits on the sideline. And I get it. If there was any other owner in that box upstairs, Jason Garrett would have been fired in, I would say, 2013, after he went 8-8, three seasons in a row, third in the NFC East, third in the NFC East, second in the NFC East. That 2014 season, that was a lifeline. That saved them a little bit, but guess what? They went back to 4-12 in 2015, last place in the garbage dump. Dak Prescott, the only bad thing he's done is saved Jason Garrett's career by coming in and playing in a 13-3 season in 2016. Yeah, I got the stats pulled up. What of it? Jason Garrett, I hope he played the lottery, because he's the luckiest individual in the world for still having a job in this league. Jason Garrett has Canadian football written all over him. He should be coaching Johnny Manziel right now. And you guys know I like Johnny Manziel. They are 3-5. They are third in the NFC East. The only reason that they are third in the NFC East is because Eli Manning still plays football. The Giants, they're not far off from being a damn good team. Their head coach is struggling just as much, if not more, as Jason Garrett. But guess what? If he continues to struggle, he's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. Jason Garrett has a 0.333% winning rate in the playoffs. He's won one time. He has lost twice. Who coaches a team for nearly 10 years and gets you one playoff win but doesn't lose his job?
But did I tell you that I went to school with his daddy and that we're friends and that I'm faithful to the people that I employ?
Jerry Jones is a senile old man. He is insane to think that this team is going to do anything. It's like poking a dead body with a stick and just going, do something, do something. The Blackhawks fired quite arguably one of their most successful coaches of all time after one season not making the playoffs, guys. one season. I know that the whole point of podcasts is to talk, but it damn near leaves me speechless that this franchise has not done anything.
Well, you know, if they lose out the rest of the games for the season, that means they'll get a good draft pick.
Uh-uh. They don't have a first-round draft pick. He gone. Amari Cooper is your wide receiver of the future. Today, Dez Bryant's going to work out with the Saints, and there's a damn good chance, in my opinion, that he signs with them. Cowabunga, dudes! You put Dez Bryant on a Saints team that has an offense that already is as explosive as it is, and you put Dez Bryant on that team? I don't like New Orleans. I think the city smells. And I think it's too humid. It's like a fancier version of Houston. You guys know how I feel about that. But I'll be damned if they don't get right up there in the Super Bowl favorites. I don't want them to. But if the Saints sign Dez Bryant, guys, I'll be the first to pick him up fantasy football. Believe that. Who dat? Or what is it? It's amazing that there's a who dat and a who day. With the Bengals and the Saints. It's like they tried to steal each other's momentum. Who dat, who day? I just don't know what else to say. It's just sad to watch, really. It's frustrating. You can look in my closet right now and you can see jerseys from every franchise here in Dallas. I've got Texas Ranger jerseys, plural. Stars jerseys, plural. I've got an FC Dallas sweater. That's the politically correct term, or kit, I believe. Dallas Stars sweaters and an FC Dallas kit. I don't really want more than one or two of those, but I also have plural of the other jerseys. I have one Mavericks jersey because really there's only one you need. And that's the GOAT himself, Dirk Nowitzki, soon to be Luka Doncic, soon. I have one Cowboys jersey in my closet, and the only reason I've kept it around is to wear as a joke, because it's a Drew Bledsoe jersey. And he just so happens to have the same exact number as the one remaining happy factor on the Cowboys for me. And that's Cole Beasley, since you wanted to get rid of Dan Bailey. Oh, Brett Maher missed a kick last night. I know Dan Bailey hasn't been perfect, but it's kind of hard to have the confidence of all the entire league and the world behind you when you get cut by the team that you've been nothing but perfect for the most part. And then Brett Maher missed another kick. Dan Bailey's probably going to make the playoffs. The Vikings are a better team. They're a good team. They're a fun team to watch. I wanted to record a really chipper and happy podcast for all of my babies today. And I'm sorry that I've had nothing but negative things to say, but when you live in a city that has a team like this team, that plays like they play, and disappoints like they disappoint, it's hard to be positive. There are no bright and shiny stars in the sky right now. Oh, and as if you weren't already down enough, Shrek is getting a reboot. Don't ruin that which is perfect, I say. Guys, that's all I have today. I'm sorry that I had to be such a negative Nancy. I am going to be on all of the major podcast outlets: Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, I think is one. You name it, I'm on it. Find me at Laces Out Finkel, Twitter, Instagram. Send me messages. Tell me what you think of this episode. We can argue if you want. Like I said, rectangle discussions, but that's Laces Out Finkel Show November 6th. I will be back tomorrow with hopefully some better news. I love you all. Love each other. Go vote.